I'm speaking this evening with Noel Freeman, who's one of the candidates for Houston City Council in a special election. Noel, I'm going to start with a question I'm asking everybody, which is, why are you running for this office?
Well, you know, I've gotten a lot of support from the community over the past couple of years to put myself out there and pursue the opportunity to be a representative of Houstonians. You know, I work for the city. I've worked for the city for a number of years, and Houston is a wonderful, bright city with a wonderful future. And I'm absolutely committed to seeing that future become a reality. But, you know, we've outgrown our ability to keep up with, you know, some of our infrastructure and a number of other issues. And so I think Houston needs some long-term guidance and some long-term planning. I think that my experience and my knowledge is the right thing that's going to get us there, and that's probably the major reason why I've decided to run.
So what do you think you bring to the table that nobody else does?
Well, you know, my knowledge of the city is certainly an advantage, and, you know, even some of the other candidates that you've interviewed have said it's going to take a full term for a new council member to get acclimated. Well, the issue here is we don't have a full term. We've got 7 months that this candidate or this council member is going to be in office, and I have relationships with the other city departments. I've got relationships with council and the mayor's office, and I work for the city every day. I'm the only candidate on the ballot who works in a department that provides vital services to every Houstonian every single day. And I think that my knowledge and my experience will come to the council table in a manner that's going to avoid that learning curve, and I'll be able to jump right in and get things going right from the beginning.
Well, let's talk about that. What exactly do you do for the city?
Well, I work for Public Works and Engineering. I work in the Office of the City Engineer. We oversee plan review and the floodplain management office, construction services, and we're very involved in the capital improvement program. And so, you know, Public Works and Engineering, we're the folks that build your streets, work on the sewers, keep clean, fresh water flowing to you every single day. And so we're involved in the growth and the development of Houston every single day, and we're the ones who keep Houston going.
Okay, and that's one of the, I mean, that's one of the corner points of your campaign. You seem to be making more of an issue of things like the capital improvement project, like CIP, it's capital improvement project, right?
Yes.
Than other candidates. Tell me more about that, and you know what's your vision for that?
Well, as far as the capital improvement project program goes, I think we need to expand it from 6 years to 10 years. We need to work on getting when these funds are dedicated in. We're not picking and replacing things, you know, for pet projects, which a lot of people say is a result of term limits. But, you know, regardless of that, we need to have a longer term planning. And, you know, one of the points of my 4-point plan is guided growth. And that's going to involve public works. It's going to involve development. You know, we need to look at where we want to be 25 years from now, 50 years from now, and start working today to have the infrastructure that can handle that, to guide the growth in a way that isn't going to leave us in 25 years where we are now, where we've got aging infrastructure that we can't simply maintain. It has to be wholesale replaced.
Okay, now you talked about guided growth. I was just reading a little profile in the Westview Examiner today that talked about that, and that it actually mentioned the zoning word. What's that all about?
Well, I don't think zoning is the way to go here in Houston. Zoning has come up for a vote a number of times. It's been defeated substantially every single time. And so I don't think that zoning is really the right thing to do. You know, we've got deed restrictions, which are very effective. Enforcement is an issue of some of those deed restrictions, but I think that deed restrictions are an effective tool that goes into growth and development of Houston to kind of control some of these issues that we have. And of course, in some of our older neighborhoods, you know, we don't have any kind of zoning. There aren't a lot of deed restrictions, but that's part of what makes Houston what it is. It's part of our heritage. And you look at these neighborhoods that have, you know, small businesses integrated with residential neighborhoods, and it works very well, and it makes our communities unique in their own right. And I think it all comes together in a way that makes Houston a truly wonderful city.
So what tools does city government have for managing growth in the way that you envision?
Well, you know, we have control over the capital improvement projects. That's a large part of it, because, you know, the problems that we face now, infrastructure, street repairs, and those types of things, flooding and drainage, you know, these have a substantial impact on our growth and development. Because if we're expanding in an area that can't handle that growth, then we're going to run into a lot of problems. And so the city has a way to guide where these projects go in, where we're working on areas that can handle the growth and the development, and can do it in such a way that, that we're building in areas that can handle it and that we're not going to be faced with the problems that we have now, you know, 25 years down the road.
Okay. The other thing you've talked about is flooding and drainage. What do you see as the issues here?
Well, flooding and drainage is a terrible problem in Houston. I'm the only candidate on the ballot who is a member of the Texas Floodplain Managers Association. I work in the office that oversees the Floodplain Management Office. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, Chapter 19 of the Code of Ordinances, which governs the floodplain and in the areas that are in the floodway and the floodplain. And, you know, we need to build stronger alliances with the Harris County Flood Control District and really work on some of these major problems. White Oak Bayou is a huge problem. But what I want to do with flooding and drainage is create a 10-year flooding and drainage improvement plan that operates similar to this capital improvement project program and in conjunction with that, where we're dedicating funds on a 10-year basis to flooding and drainage improvement programs that cannot be taken away and used for other projects. Like with the way the CIP works now is you can have money slated for a park or a multi-service center, and it can somebody can come along and take that money from that project and put it into another project. Well, if we've got money slated for flooding and drainage improvement, it needs to stay there. We shouldn't be taking that money and putting it into other programs. So I want to create that 10-year flooding and drainage improvement plan. I also want to look at fair and equitable ways to provide ways to tackle issues that face residences and businesses that are in flood-prone areas. That is a big problem, particularly with some of the revisions that we've made to Chapter 19 of the Code of Ordinances. I think we're headed in the right direction, but we need to be able to tackle some of those issues that we face now.
Okay. Generally speaking, City Council has worked in consensus with Mayor White. Would you see yourself as being a part of that consensus or more in opposition?
Now, I think, you know, Bill White has done a tremendous job, and I think that coalition building really is the way for us to accomplish our goals, and that's something that I will certainly embrace as a member of council. You know, our council is by statute nonpartisan, and I want to embrace that spirit of nonpartisanship and build coalitions on council that will seek to do the things that we want to accomplish for Houstonians and do the things that are right. And so I think that the mayor's way of working on building consensus is certainly something that I absolutely support.
Okay. Now, of course, the city charter gives Mayor White a lot of power. He sets the council agenda. You know, Houston City Council, relatively speaking, is weak compared to some other big city councils. You know, given that, how do you plan to get your issues to the forefront and onto the agenda?
Well, again, you know, consensus building. That's really the way to do it. And there's a lot of communication that goes on behind the scenes in council and with the mayor. And, you know, it's a matter of communicating those issues that are important to other members of council and to the mayor and build that consensus so that the issues that are important to me and the issues that are important to the people I'm representing, you know, can move forward in council and ultimately see their way into passage.
Okay. Crime has been a big concern in Houston lately. Do you believe that crime is getting better, as recent statistics seem to indicate, or that it's getting worse, and what should City Council be doing about it?
Well, you know, we have seen some improvements, some reduction in crime, but, you know, I've had the advantage of going all over Houston over the past many years and seen some of the changes that have gone around. I also talk with Houston police officers very regularly. And I think that we've got some areas where there are improvements and some areas that are heading in the wrong direction. And, you know, a number of years ago, there were a lot of layoffs in HPD, and we saw a lot of our uniformed officers moved into positions that were filled by civilians, where it's not necessary to have the expertise and the knowledge and the training that our uniformed officers have. And one thing that I would like to do is reevaluate our personnel structure in HPD and bring some civilians back into those positions where they can be utilized and move these seasoned, experienced uniformed officers back out on patrol where we can help reduce crime as a whole. And that's a way to avoid having to rely solely on bringing in new recruits. And I think that that's a way that we can do it without increasing our overtime. As a matter of fact, I think if we bring civilians on to the positions that they can fill without that expertise and knowledge, that we can actually lower some of our overtime because we have staff that aren't getting paid time and a half when they shouldn't have to be.
Okay. Last year, after some controversy and the tragic death of an HPD officer, the Houston Police Department made some changes to its longstanding policies regarding illegal immigrants. Do you agree with the changes they made, and do you think they should make any further changes to them?
I agree with the change that, you know, if HPD is investigating someone in the course of a criminal investigation, that they're inquiring about the immigration status, I think that's absolutely acceptable. But we're not here to do Immigration and Customs Enforcement's job. The federal government is not paying HPD to do their job for them. You know, we have problems with crime here in Houston that we need to deal with, and that's not related entirely to those folks who are in the country illegally. So I don't think that we need to be spending our resources going after illegal immigrants. I certainly don't think that we need to be seeking out illegal immigrants. And I think that if there is an investigation of criminal activity and the immigration issue does come up, then if we need to transfer illegal immigrants to federal authorities, then we need to do that. But it is not our job to detain them and hold them indefinitely until the federal government just kind of gets around to dealing with it. And I think that if we stay out of pursuing those folks who are in here in Houston illegally or in the United States illegally, you know, it's not going to create some of the problems where we have where even though somebody might be in the country illegally, they're afraid to report crimes, they're afraid to report criminal activity, and if they're comfortable in reporting criminal activity to the police department, then we can get a handle on some of these hot spots where we have a lot of criminal activity going on that we just don't know about.
Okay. Mayor White has unveiled a plan to lower the benzene concentration in the atmosphere. Just got scaled back somewhat after some pushback from other area mayors, but the basic idea was to negotiate with and, if necessary, sue or pursue fines against area plants, some of which may be outside Houston's borders, to get them to clean up their emissions. What's your opinion of this plan? Was it appropriate to go after plants that are outside the borders?
Well, I think that if these plants are not complying with federal and state laws and federal and state requirements, then they should be held accountable for that. However, Houston doesn't have the resources to enforce federal and state laws. You know, we need to work with the federal government and the state government to enforce their own regulations. Now, there is an impact that these plants have on Houstonians. And I think that it's good and productive for us to have a coalition with mayors that are in jurisdictions that encompass these plants, because that allows us to work with those mayors to put pressure on them from the territories that they are in to get them to come into compliance. Now, if we can't have any luck with that, if that's not successful, then I think that Houston should be able to have recourse for something that is affecting its citizens. Now, if that involves a civil lawsuit, then, you know, depending on the scope of that lawsuit, you know, I would be inclined to support that. If the fruits of that lawsuit benefit Houstonians who are affected by, you know, the benzene and other emissions that are coming from these plants. You know, I look at it in kind of the same perspective of, if somebody is murdered, the family of that victim has the right to pursue a civil lawsuit against the person who murdered their loved one as a wrongful death lawsuit. And I look at it from that same perspective. We should be able to pursue, you know, civil action against an entity that is affecting our residents. I don't think we should do it just because we can. If there is a real identified impact, then we should be able to go after that. But it's up to the federal and state authorities to pursue criminal action. So I think that if we have ordinances that are trying to affect these plants that are outside of our borders, I don't think that we should be holding them criminally liable because they are simply not in our jurisdiction.
All right. Historic preservation has been in the news. I mean, you live in a historic neighborhood. Some Houston landmarks like the River Oaks Theater have come under threat from development. What, if anything, should City Council be doing to abet preservation efforts? And what do you think of some of the recent efforts towards helping historic neighborhoods like the Heights and the Old Sixth Ward manage lot sizes and development.
Well, I think that our history and our heritage is a very important part of who we are as a city. And that's something that I think is worth preserving. And you'll find that, you know, a lot of people like living in historic neighborhoods because there's character there and it does improve the property values. However, you know, development isn't always a bad thing. I think development is tantamount to where we're going to be, you know, 25, 50 years down the road. Houston was built on development. And what I think council can do, and something I am absolutely committed to do, is promoting responsible development. And I want to be able to, you know, build coalitions among citizens and developers who can work together and talk about the types of development that are going to integrate well into our communities, the types of things that can take us where we want to be, but at the same time respecting the heritage and the traditions that make Houston what it is today and make it what it was when it grew up.
Do you agree with the approach of offering property tax waivers to certain buildings that are designated as historic?
Yes, I do. I think that's a wonderful opportunity to give an incentive to people to keep our history and our heritage alive.
Okay. Now, you once worked as an intern in Representative John Culberson's office. Representative Culberson, as you know, has been in the news for his advocacy of a particular route for the university's rail line. Do you agree with his position?
I disagree with his position that the rail line should not go down Richmond Avenue. However, let me just say that I will only support a rail line that runs down Richmond if it's done right. I think Metro has an obligation to the citizens of Houston, and particularly those on Richmond Avenue. I used to live on Richmond Avenue, and I'm afraid that if it's not done right, we're going to see a massive loss of small businesses in the area, and Metro has to reach out and make every possible effort to keep those businesses alive, keep them made aware of everything that's going on. I think construction needs to be done in a manner that helps facilitate access to those businesses, helps facilitate traffic flow through the area. And I think the reason why it's important that we have the rail lines in general is because it's going to open up a lot of opportunities in Houston. And I think that area along Richmond, particularly between the Spur and Shepherd, will revitalize that area. You have the University of St. Thomas there, you know, and there's a lot of students who live there. They commute to U of H. And there's a lot of jobs that can be made available if we do that. And I think we need to keep the rail line where the jobs are and where it's going to provide the most opportunity. And so I think that if we have a rail line that runs to Greenway Plaza and then cuts over to West Park, it's going to keep the line as close as possible to where the businesses are, as close as possible to where the jobs are, and as close as possible to where people will use the line and absolutely make it worth the while. However, I think that if we're going to consider putting a rail line down Richmond that crosses Shepherd and crosses Kirby Drive and Buffalo Speedway, it needs to be grade separated. You know, we've looked at what happened in downtown where all traffic must come to a stop when the train goes across the intersection, and we can't do that at Shepherd. We can't do that at Kirby or Buffalo Speedway. There has to be a grade separation to solve the traffic problems. Those intersections are bad enough as they are now, much less having a train run down the middle of them. So that's those are the things that I think Metro has to do for me to support that line.
All right. Last October, Council passed a law that extended the city's smoking ban from restaurants to include bars. There are still some exemptions for things like outdoor patios and some other types of businesses. Would you have voted for that, and do you think there's anything more that needs to be done in terms of smoking restrictions?
I would have supported that. I believe it is an adequate policy. I wouldn't have expanded it any further than it is. I think it was the right policy at the right time.
Okay. Mayor White has recently unveiled a pay or play proposal to extend health insurance to employees of firms that do contract work for the city. They would either require contractors to provide health care benefits to their employees or to contribute to a fund that would offset the cost of taking care of uninsured sick people. What's your opinion of this?
Well, I would like to see more workers have insurance, particularly those who do business with the city. However, I think one of the issues that we have to look at is what portion of that cost is going to be passed along to the taxpayers in the contract. Are these contract amount's going to be increased because these companies are rolling that over into what they're charging the city for their services. If we can do it in a way that doesn't adversely affect the city and the taxpayers' dollars and can also help reduce the burden on taxpayers through Harris County Hospital District that provides care for those who are uninsured in many instances, then I think that's the right thing to do.
Okay. There was a companion proposal there of a joint effort with Harris County to provide an insurance option for people who earn less than $50,000 a year, where the person picks up some of it, an employer picks up some of it, and the city and county pick up some of it. What do you think of that?
I think that if we can institute a program that's going to reduce the overall burden on the taxpayers, then that's something that we should certainly pursue.
Okay. Mayor White's recent State of the City address, he made several conservation-related proposals to cut our per capita residential power consumption by 5% over 5 years, to cut Houston's consumption of motor fuels by 5% regardless of the amount of miles driven, and to create a fund to reduce the amount of solid waste that the city produces. What specific steps do you think the city should take to try and meet those goals?
Well, the first thing that I would love to see the city do is work with Metro and other agencies to create commuter rail lines to all of our major suburban centers. In the future, we don't need to have, 8 I-10s running through our city. There's a substantial cost associated with that, and when we're done, we just got to rebuild it all over again. So I think that if we have commuter rail lines that run to all of our major suburban centers, we can help alleviate some of that traffic. It's going to reduce some of the emissions, it's going to reduce our fuel consumption, and it's going to make mobility a lot better. So I think that that's the first thing I would like to see the city work to accomplish. And there are other issues, air quality. I think we need to look at public and private partnerships that help preserve green space, that help enhance our green space, and of course what we talked about earlier with the emissions from plants that are near Houston. I think we certainly do need to work with those companies to reduce their emissions. With regard to solid waste, I think we may need to look at enhancing some of our recycling efforts. I see in my neighborhood there are very few people who recycle, and if the city wants to look at a better education program that's not going to be a substantial burden on the taxpayers, that can be a way to enhance our recycling efforts, then I think we can look at that.
All right. City of Houston has had term limits on municipal offices for a number of years now, 3 2-year terms. There's been some various proposals and now a bill filed with the legislature to allow for more terms or perhaps have 4-year terms. What's your opinion on the state of term limits?
I think term limits are a good thing, and I support term limits. I'm not interested in substantial changes to the term limits as we have them now. One thing I would like to look at is separating district members from at-large, or rather district seats from at-large seats, so that it's not one term limit all the way. So you have council members like Michael Berry, who started out in a district seat and moved to an at-large seat. There's a term limit for a district seat, and once you reach that limit, you can run and you can be an at-large seat, for an additional length of terms.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add that I haven't asked you about?
Well, I think the important thing here is look at some of the issues that face Houston. And, I have a 4-point plan for Houston's future: guided growth, flooding and drainage improvements, common sense mobility solutions, and putting more police officers on patrol. These are things that affect a lot of Houstonians and I think are going to make Houston realize its bright future that it faces. And right now, as I told you before, I'm the only candidate who works for the city's largest department that provides vital services every single day, and there's not going to be a learning curve if I'm elected and go into that seat. We don't have 2 years. We've got 7 months, and I'm the candidate who can jump in there and do that and make things happen very quickly.
All right. Noel Freeman, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with your campaign.
Appreciate it.